John says this, chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But this my Father is, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is God's holy and infallible word. As we come to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, I want to remind you that what takes place in this passage takes place in the context of where Jesus had informed his disciples that he was about to leave and that he was going to prepare a place for them. We remember very well the words of John 14, I'm going to my Father's house and I'm going to prepare a place for you. But he also tells his disciples that he is going to send the Spirit to them to indwell them. And now Jesus in this passage tells them what they are going to do while he is away. They are to abide in him. And that's the main theme of chapter 15. The main theme is that abiding in Christ is what believers will do. Believers will bear fruit in their spiritual lives by abiding in Jesus Christ, in communion with him, to bear fruit for God and for his glory. And that's why Jesus tells us in this passage that he is the true vine and we are the branches. And he tells us that in this passage in the context of the whole of Scripture, in which Israel is called a vine. God is the vine dresser. We've read about that in Isaiah chapter 5. It's also found in chapter 80 of the Psalms and in many other places. Israel is God's vineyard. And Jesus now says to his disciples, I am the true vine. He is the embodiment of what a true vine would be, the source of all life to all of the branches, to all that are connected to him. And then he says, you are the branches. The vine is the source of life, but they are entirely dependent upon the vine, or the branches are entirely dependent upon the vine to which they are attached. It's the branches of the tree. They are dependent upon what? The tree and its roots and all of the necessary strength and all of the nourishment that the branches need comes from the root and from the tree. I think that's interesting because I was hoping there would be some other way of fixing the problem that I have with oak trees on my yard. They continue to dump all of those leaves every year. Half of them are still hanging there. I forget what they call that, but you know what I'm talking about. Spring comes and I got to get out the vacuum again and get out there and vacuum up the leaves and put them in a pile and burn them, and we have a nice pile again because unfortunately those leaves, well, when they die, they go away. New leaves will come, but everything connected to that tree is going to derive its strength from the tree rooted in the ground. And that's this picture Jesus is giving here of himself being the vine, and we are the branches. And he says, you are the branches. You are the ones who are dependent upon the vine. You get all of your strength from it. The vine and its branches picture this vital union between Christ and the believer. And Jesus uses that word abide in this passage 15 times in 10 verses. Now, you know that if it's said once in the Bible, that ought to do it, right? We don't need to argue with it. God said it. It's his word. But if he says something 15 times in the score of 10 verses, you think he's trying to make a point? The point is that we are to abide, to fellowship with Christ. That's this abiding, this oneness, this common life that's shared by all who are joined together as branches to the vine. Now, how are we joined to the vine? Well, we are joined by the power of God's grace. It's not a natural thing. We are grafted on. You remember that passage in Romans where Paul speaks of how the Gentiles were grafted on. That would be nice if I could graft something onto my oak tree. I have a problem with my oak trees, as you know. I'd like to graft something onto it that would get rid of all of those leaves. Kind of doubt if that is something that's possible, but the picture there is the grafting on. The picture of Paul, of the church, the Gentiles, outside of the congregation of God, are brought in and they are grafted on. And now what is the privilege of the Gentiles? They grafted on to the tree. They are the recipients of what? God's grace. They are the recipients of Christ, and it's all done by grace. And because of grace, the branch now delivers its fructifying power to the vine's branches so that all that it needs can be produced. And believers receive all that they need through grace because they have been grafted on to Jesus Christ and made a part of the kingdom of God. We are grafted to the true vine. Jesus is the true vine in the same sense that he is the true bread from heaven, the great and the good shepherd of the sheep. He is the embodiment of the vine and what it should be, the source of life for all of its branches. Believers have no strength or life or power in and of themselves. That strength and that power comes from Christ alone. And that's why this picture of the vine and the vineyard would not be lost on the disciples. Remember, the disciples were those who lived with Jesus in that place. And all around them, all around Jerusalem, there were vines and vineyards. There was a large ornamented vine which was on the principal gate of the temple. And throughout the Garden of Gethsemane, what do you think you found there? Many vines and many branches. And that would remind them of the Old Testament where it's spoken of in so many places. Psalm 80, Jeremiah 2, Isaiah 5. The illustration of the vine and the branches show the spiritual relationship between Christ and his people. And as the life that the branches draw from the vine comes from the vine, so individual believers draw their life from their vital connection to Jesus Christ. That's where we draw our spiritual life from being grafted onto him. And this grafting, this grace that comes to us is done by the power of God. And through the power of God, we enter into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's done by the almighty power of God. We didn't think it was a great idea to become a part of the church because we looked at the people in the church and thought, you know, I'd like to be a part of the church because that looks like a great place to be. No, we came to become a part of the church because God in his grace caused us to want to know Jesus Christ, drew us to himself so that by his almighty power, we might have fellowship with him and with his church. It's done by the grace of God. And this fellowship with Christ is intimate and it is inseparable. We are entirely dependent upon Jesus Christ. Just as branches are dependent upon the vine. You take a branch and you cut it off from the tree, well, it's not going to grow. It's going to die. The union is so close. And as the branches draw the sap, which it draws into itself and comes from the roots and from its base, the tree and the branches are able to grow. And it's only there that there is life for the tree and the branches. And that picture is the picture of Christ and his church. He assures his grieving disciples. Remember, they were grieving. He is about to leave them. He's going to be not only betrayed and crucified, but he said, I am going to die. And they were troubled at the impending departure of their master. What does Jesus do for them? He gives them the comfort of his connection to them that can never be dissolved. Have you ever thought of that? Jesus is telling them, I'm going to leave. He's going to die. The disciples were distraught. We can read that back in chapter 14 especially. What would Jesus be able to say to them that would comfort them in this moment? He gives them this comfort in this passage by telling them that he will never forsake them. He is the vine, they are the branches, and they are to abide in him. I think of that, and I think of Jesus' great wisdom in comforting his disciples in the moment of their being so downcast. He gives them something that reminds them that this connection between himself and his disciples is one that will never dissolve, it will never go away, they will always be his. Nothing can come between God and his people. I think that's why Paul writes that in the epistle to the Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord, because he is with us. He will never forsake us. He has sent his Spirit into our hearts. He dwells within us, and that relationship can never, ever be dissolved. The believer is always the subject of the faithful care of the Heavenly Father, who is the vine dresser and who is the keeper of the people. And God is still caring for his people today. He's caring for you. He's caring for me. He is, as this passage shows us, the great cultivator, the one who cares for his people like a gardener cares for his garden. He speaks of his love for Christ and for his people, and he is the one who cares for them in many ways. Notice it says he lifts up and takes away the dead branches. We see that in this passage, and there's a little concern in this passage about the Greek word that's used here for lifting up and taking away. Some people think it means to lift up by lifting up one's eyes. Some other people think it means lift up and carry away, or just simply removing it. With Dr. Boyce, who has written about this passage, I agree with his interpretation. He believes that the better sense of the judgment would be that this translation should be, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. In other words, he lifts it up to keep it from trailing on the ground. That sort of agrees more so with the parable of the vine dresser and the work that the vine dresser does. What does a vine dresser do? He lifts up a branch with care and love in order that the branch may do what? Bear more fruit. He places them where they are exposed to the sun so they will develop their fruit. This gives an understanding to the sequence of the actions of the Father's care. First, he lifts them up. But then it goes on and he washes them and he prunes them. All of these things are done. Why? To make the vine productive. And so the translation would better suit the understanding of the verse that says, every branch in me, and who is that Jesus is speaking of? He is speaking of the ones who are in him, those who are in him, who have a saving relationship to him and cannot be severed and cannot be removed. This verse is not talking about our saving relationship. That can't be broken. It's talking about those who are unfruitful. What does he do with the unfruitful ones? He lifts them up and he cares for them, and then he cleanses them and he purges them. And how does he cleanse them and purge them? And then he'll go on and say he prunes them. Well, he does the cleansing by the word of God. God's word is the word which sanctifies our souls. Christians are purged by the word. The word of God looks at us, and as that word of God comes into our life, it challenges us, it purges us, it cleanses us of our sin. The cleansing power of the word suggests that nothing will keep sin from us but attention to the application of the word of God. Remember what it said in Psalm 119. How shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God which cleanses, which purges, which sanctifies us by its sovereign power. And then Jesus goes on and says he prunes them. Pruning is done for the purpose of what? Making more fruit. When the Father sends his pruning work into our lives, he sends us the pruning of trials to prune us for the purpose of making us more fruitful. Our trials drive us to the Word of God and to prayer, to show us our own hearts and to make us more humble and dependent upon the all-sufficient and sovereign grace of God. Sometimes as a Christian, you must go through that painful process, a pruning process, in order to become all that God wants you to be. Sin has to be cut off. Sin needs to be put behind you. We are called to endure difficulties and to overcome, and whether through illness or persecution or the consequences of sin, the pruning process goes on. And God is continually doing that because he is continually transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. He wants to make us like Christ. And everyone is called in this passage then to abide in Christ. Abiding, as we've seen, means a close communion with the Savior. Notice that Jesus says in this passage, just as the branch. What does he mean by that? Well, it's simple if you know branches and trees and vines and so on. The branch cannot bear fruit separated from the vine. Cut it off, what happens? Dies. It's gone. So the believer cannot bear fruit if he is cut apart from the Savior. We must live in that vital union with him. We must draw our strength from the Savior. We must walk in obedience to his word and glorify God, bearing fruit. The disciple that abides in Christ is like a branch abiding in the vine. You know, when you have a healthy vine and healthy branches, what are you going to get? Healthy fruit. And no branch bears fruit in isolation. As I said, if you cut off the branch, it's going to die. It needs to be attached to the vine. And that's what we are called to do, be attached and abide in Christ. Abide in him with repentance towards God, faith in Jesus Christ. The distinguishing marks of a Christian in whom God's grace is operative is to have a vital relationship with the Lord, abiding in him. You see, grace is never idle. A living member of Christ demonstrates his union by bearing fruit. Fruit's the only satisfactory evidence that there's a saving union between Christ and a believer. When there is no fruit of the Spirit to be seen, there is no vital religion of the heart. The Spirit makes himself known in the person in whom he dwells. We know that because, as Jesus said in Luke's gospel, every tree is known by what? Every tree is known by its fruit. A true branch attached to the vine will demonstrate its abiding power, its continual dependence upon Christ and communing with him, submitting to him and submitting to his word. So our passage emphasizes, as I said, 15 times, abiding in Christ. What does that mean? It means that we are totally dependent upon him. Impotent apart from Christ. Severed from Christ, you cannot bear fruit. You are like a lifeless branch cut off from the stem. It withers, it dies. But there's a great deal of work to be done for the believer. He is to abide in Christ. You can't do it without being attached to him, without being connected to him, without abiding in him. And we are to do that by resting in his grace. This is a great encouragement to our hearts, because we can know that by abiding in him, we can do all things through Christ. And in that vital union of relationship with him, we can bear fruit for him and for his glory. May we find God's word speaking to our hearts today, challenging our hearts to abide in Jesus Christ. Amen.